Let's come to the next section, faith. Now, let's understand something concerning faith. You can never base faith strictly on feelings, because that's how people are deceived. You must base faith, first of all, upon fact. Because what you believe that differs from the Word of God is a false belief and a false faith. And there are a lot of people who have false faith and false belief. And many of us are all going to learn that when the financial system eventually does collapse, because collapse it will. And they will have put all their faith in men and all their faith in dollars and all their faith in banks and all their faith in whatever. And the book of Isaiah shows that even at the end time, those who put their faith in gold and silver are going to cast it to the moles and to the bats, because that won't save them. So the kind of faith we're talking about here is the faith that is generated, first of all, by the Word of God, second of all, by God calling you, sending His Spirit to be with you, to lead you. Third, then, the kind of faith that you believe God and you believe His Word. Believe is the noun. Belief. To believe is also to faithize. Have faith poured into, and that is into Christ. So let's read the section on faith here in the Beliefs booklet. Faith is the knowledge of and active belief in the existence and power of the living God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Not enough just to believe that there is a God. Not enough to believe that there was a Christ. Faith is the knowledge and the active belief in the existence of God and the power of the living God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift from God and a fruit of the Holy Spirit, which we will see in a little bit. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, as a begettal from God the Father, true believers are granted the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ and the very faith of Jesus Christ. This faith is the actual spiritual substance of God's Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that when we get to it in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, which gives the believer the assurance and the confidence that what God has promised, He will perform. So remember that. Every promise of God is sure and is true, and He will perform it. Now, you need to also understand this about the promises of God. Most people believe that the promises of God are just to fulfill your wish list of good things. God, give me this, which would be a blessing. God, give me that. No, you read the Bible, and a lot of the promises of God promise curses for disobedience, punishment for sin, correction for wrongdoing. So all His promises are good. That is, they will come to pass. They will not fail. Whether they be the promises to bring blessings to you or to bring curses to you. Now, maybe in your life you've experienced a lot of curses, maybe not too many blessings. Well, maybe God is trying to tell you a lesson with that so that you can learn. That's why there's repentance. Let's continue on here. The true faith of Jesus Christ is imparted by God to each believer, will continually be manifest by the fruits of righteousness in the believer's life. Faith is made perfect by doing the good works that God the Father has ordained through Jesus Christ. This active and living faith is absolutely essential for salvation through grace. Without good works, faith is dead. Without faith, good works are of no value in the sight of God. You need to understand that. A lot of people can do good works, but unless it's based on the Spirit and faith of God, it does you absolutely no good. Now, you may temporarily feel good about it, but that gives you no standing with God the Father in heaven above. Because God has created the good works, as we will see a little later on. Those are the ones that you are to walk in faith. These will produce good works. Why? Because the cleansing of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit will lead you to do the good works which God has ordained. So that's why, without good works, faith is dead. Without faith, good works are of no value in God's sight. Good works alone cannot bring salvation and eternal life. While true faith will produce good works in the believer's life, these good works do not earn salvation. The good works that are done through faith are not the cause, but the result of God's gift of salvation to the believer. Now let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And this is something that is very, very important. And it's so profound because it shows you the impossibility of pleasing God without faith. And I'm afraid there are just hundreds of millions of people who claim that they believe. But when it comes down to really believing God, really believing Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, then that's another entirely different story altogether. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. And that really means substance. Because it comes from God's Spirit. It is part of the substance of God's Spirit. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. To believe God's Word, you hope in Christ. That's where your hope is. You have the hope of the resurrection, the hope of eternal life, which is in Christ, the blessings that God can give you when you pray, the correction that God will give you when you need it. Those are the things hoped for. We all hope to be in the kingdom of God, but we also desire the correction and guidance from God. So even that is a thing hoped for when you come to understand it. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God. And you go back and read that in Genesis, where God spoke and it was created. Where God said, let there be light, there was light. All of that, the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen, everything that we can see, whether it be down through a microscope to the finest, smallest, little itty-bitty things, were made of the things which do not appear. And even man in his own scientific greatness today, if we could put it that way, still do not understand what matter really is and where it really came from. They thought they had it when they had the atoms and protons and neutrons. Now they find out that there are things smaller than that. And now that they have found out that these smaller little things, smaller than atoms, which they can barely see with the greatest electronic microscope, that they do not adhere to the same laws which take place in the universe according to the law that Einstein supposedly discovered, the law of relativity. They do not act in accordance with that. So science and their great discovery still do not know. Why is that? Because God is greater than man. And you're not going to find God in a test tube. And you're not going to find God in a microscope. You're going to find God on your knees as you repent and accept Christ as your personal Savior and let the blood of Christ cover you and then be baptized. Then you will begin to understand true faith. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it that he, being dead, still yet speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Later on, he died, because it says over here in verse 13, these all died. We don't know the full story back there in Genesis 5 where that occurred with Enoch. But Enoch was taken away because there were apparently gangs of evil men chasing him down, ready to kill him. So God just took him to another place. Later, he lived out his life. Because it says back there, and all the years of Enoch were so many years. So that shows that he died. And was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, verse 6 is the key. And this is a profound verse I want you to learn and know and understand. Because this is so fundamental. This is so lifelong lasting that you need to grasp it in its fullest intent. But without faith, you don't believe God, you don't believe in God, you don't believe Christ, you don't believe in his sacrifice, you can never please God, even though, yea, you may be the most perfect person in the world. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Now that means this. In order for you to have faith, you are obligated by God to believe that he exists. Meaning that's the very, very first step. So you have to believe that he is. You have to believe that his word is true. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this is the key verse. Absolutely the key verse in it. Let's come to Galatians 2 and verse 20. And let's see what the Apostle Paul said concerning faith. And it's quite a profound way that it's expressed in the Greek. Because here in Galatians 2 and verse 20, and what he's doing, he is showing here what happens after the operation of baptism. So since we just covered baptism, this fits right in with it. I am crucified with Christ. That is through the operation of baptism, because we're to crucify the old self. Nevertheless, I live. Because he was raised out of the watery grave, just like everyone else who's been baptized. They live, that is, living in the flesh. Yet not I. In other words, he's not living to serve himself. He's not living his life to please himself. He's not living his life in the way that seems right to him, but he's following God. Yet not I. But Christ lives in me. That's where you begin getting the real faith of Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ is living in him and living in everyone who has the Spirit of God. This is going to lead you to do righteousness, as we read in the previous section in 1 John, the third chapter. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that means by Christ's very own faith. Because he gives it as a gift. He imputes it to you. Well, let's come to Galatians, the fifth chapter. And let's see whether it is part of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Because the Holy Spirit is to impart to us many things. Faith being one of them. Love, we will see all of it here. The very characteristics of God. Now, all of these things that we find in Galatians 5 and verse 22 show you the character of God and what God is doing with his Spirit in those who receive it and those who have it is that they are having Christ built into them by the very Word of God. That's why Paul says, the life that I now live, it is Christ in me. Therefore, then you can have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love the brethren. Love, yea, even your enemies, as Christ has said, right? Yes. Joy. You have the joy from God because he gives you peace of mind. Joy because you're happy that God has called you. Joy that you understand the Word of God. Joy that you realize that you have such a fantastic future to be born again into the kingdom of God by the power of the resurrection. Peace. You have peace with God, first of all, because you're no longer an enemy of God. Because when God begins dealing with you first, you are still an enemy of God. And Christ died while we were still enemies of God. So in that sense, Christ prayed for his enemies too, didn't he? And didn't he say when he was on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? That was an act of faith. That was an act of love. That was an act of peace. Long-suffering. Now, long-suffering means to suffer things long or for a great duration if necessary, regardless of what the situation may be. Gentleness. That's self-explanatory. Goodness means you're only going to be seeking good. Faith. Now notice where faith is here. We find in another part in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that these three abide, faith, hope, and love. In this case, faith then is going to be there, but all of these things combined. Meekness and temperance. Now temperance is self-control. Meekness is that you don't exalt yourself, how great you are and what you have done, because you realize that everything that you have has come from God and everything you do is because God has given you the ability one way or the other to do it. Whether physically or spiritually or mentally, all these things come from God. See, you don't get all carried away with yourself. The big I is no longer there. That's meekness and humility. Temperance. That is self-control. That then through the Spirit of God, you have the self-control that you are not going to go out and sin. You're not going to go out and deliberately do those things that are wrong. You control your emotions. You control your temper. You control your appetites. Because you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So you will have that self-control. Now notice he says, against such there is no law. Why? Because all of these things are encompassed in keeping the commandments of God and loving him. That's the point. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh through baptism with the affections and the lusts. That's all part of growing and overcoming. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Verse 26, notice the contrast. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So you see the contrast when you have the true faith of God by the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of God, which he imparts to you. Now let's come here to Ephesians, the second chapter. And let's see something concerning the faith. Let's pick it up here in verse 1, showing God's calling and God's mercy and God's grace, and what it leads to by faith, and what kind of faith that God wants us to have, which he gives to us. Verse 1, Ephesians 2, and you has he quickened, that is made alive through baptism, who were dead in trespasses and sin. The truth is this. If you are just out there in the world and you have not repented and been baptized and quickened with the Holy Spirit of God, you are as good as dead because you're living in sin and trespasses. And the New Testament teaches that the wages of sin is death. If you are practicing sin, are you not as good as a dead man? Yes, you are. No doubt about it. Verse 2, wherein in time past, and this is what you need to decide, will you repent? Will you change? Will you come to God? Will your sins be in the time past? But notice, if it's current, notice who's leading your life. You walk according to the course of this world, the way that the world goes, the way that the society is, the way that the majority of people go. According to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan the devil, that spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, and it means it is inner working. Now, how can the devil inner work in you? Well, there are some people who are demon-possessed directly. There are other people who worship Satan openly. How can he work in just the average person? By getting you to break the commandments of God, by getting you to be all encompassed in your own life and your own self. He does it through radio, television, video, internet. All of these things can be used as tools by Satan the devil. That's how he gets an entrance into your mind. So stop and ask yourself, why do I believe what I believe, and where did I come to believe it, and how did I come to believe it? And maybe you're going to see that a lot of these things are just fulfilling your own sinful desires. That now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all. So Paul included himself in this, didn't he? We all human beings in the world are under the power and sway of Satan the devil. Revelation 12:9 says that he's deceiving the whole world. That's how he's deceiving it. One of his greatest tools is, we'll see here in just a minute, among whom we all had our conduct, as it should read, King James reads conversation, in times past, in the lust of our flesh. So whatever appeals to the lust of the flesh, to feel good, to coddle yourself, to go against God, to satisfy your fleshly lusts, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and all of these things of the mind and esteem of the self, and to succeed in the world. Some of the things that are done in the world to fulfill the lust of the mind, to become greater, better, the greatest, are all of Satan the devil, though they are couched in doing good, though they are couched in making you an improved person. You need to understand that. Unless you have the Spirit of God, you can never really change the status of your life. You may make yourself more rich. You may be more successful in business. You may be a better person to other people in some ways, but you cannot change your sinful nature. So therefore, you are still a child of the devil. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love wherewith he loved us, because if God is calling you to know and to understand his word, you need to understand he loves you. He's trying to help you understand the word of God. And that's why Christ came. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's great love he had for us. Even when we were dead in sins. Now that's why I was saying that if you're living in sin, you're as good as dead. Has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So it's by God's mercy, by God's grace, by God's love, all combined together, you see. And has raised us up together, that is through the operation of baptism, and made us to sit in heavenly places, well, that should read things, in Christ Jesus. And with having the Holy Spirit now, that you have a heavenly thing that came from God the Father in heaven above, the begettal of God's Holy Spirit, the seed which is in you, that in the ages to come, now that's when the saints will sit in thrones and rule the world with Jesus Christ, in the coming age when Jesus returns, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And therefore, that's why the Apostle Paul wrote there in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. And without faith it's impossible to really understand the grace of God. And that not of yourselves. And this is very interesting. The Greek means not from within your being. It doesn't come from out within you. So if you have the ideas that your good thoughts and your good works and you'll just be a good person, you'll be sincere, you'll be honest, you'll be kind and all of those things, without Christ is meaningless. Though those may be good works in the letter of the law, though those may be good works in the world, they are not salvational works because the works we are to do have been ordained of God that we should walk in them. Now notice, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And if it is the gift of God, you cannot earn it. The grace, the faith, and the salvation are all gifts of God. Not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we read those good works back in Galatians 5 and verse 22 and 23. Those are the good works of God that he wants you to do. In other words, now that if you do something good, it's because, first of all, you love God. And you love Christ. And you love the truth. And you want to do those things that please God. So you do it not thinking of the self or any reward to the self. You keep the laws of God. You keep the commandments of God. Because those are good. Those are the good works that he gave us to walk in. Workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them, which then is the whole way of life, the whole Christian way of living, as defined in the Bible, both the Old Testament and New Testament. Well, we'll continue this on in the next tape.
This tape has been brought to you by the Christian Biblical Church of God website at www.cbcg.org. And thank you for listening.